Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm Chasm Radio Farm Director Joe Gill. Your report brought to you by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service right off I-94 in Avon. We begin, we check in at USDA. Gary Crawford has more on the turkey industry and right now some tough economic times.
It's not the greatest of times right now for the nation's turkey producers.
Production continues to decline and prices are declining as well.
And that breaks the rules of supply and demand economics. This from USDA's Outlook Chairman Mark Chekanowski. He says producers have been trying to keep production down and prices at least stable in the face of declining demand for turkey. USDA has lowered its forecast for this year's turkey production now down to about 5 billion pounds.
Lowest U.S. production since 1995, but even despite that, margins are still weak, and we're not looking at much improvement into 2025 either.
But maybe some improvement. USDA is projecting for 2025 an average price of $1.03 a pound. Not a great price, but it would be about 9 cents higher than this year. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
All right, Gary, thank you for that update on the turkey side of things and turkey economics right now going on. We also check in with the USMEF, U.S. Meat Export Federation, as a strike at East and Gulf Coast ports could be very impactful when it comes to meat exports. More details from USMEF here this morning on Chasm Radio.
Ports on the East and Gulf Coast of the United States could shut down at the end of this month if the International Longshoremen's Association and U.S. Maritime Alliance fail to reach a new contract agreement. While the majority of U.S. red meat shipments flow from the West Coast ports, a work stoppage in the East and Gulf would still be very disruptive to the industry, according to U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom.
The largest ports for U.S. beef and pork exports are on the West Coast, the three big ports there, but that doesn't mean that the East and Gulf Coast isn't important. We look at total waterborne exports of pork. About 45% of those go through the East and Gulf Coast ports, and on the beef side, about 30% of the waterborne exports. You know, that 30 might sound a little low, but it doesn't mean it's not important because there's quite a high percentage of chilled beef that goes out, very high value chilled beef that goes out from the East Coast in particular for destinations like Europe and Middle East. So we can't overstate the importance of the East Coast and Gulf Coast ports, even though the West Coast is larger, still a very significant quantity is exported through the East and Gulf Coast.
While some traffic is being redirected to the West Coast, those ports could not absorb all of the shipments.
Redirecting to the West Coast is a potential very short-term solution, but it's by no means a long-term solution at all, because it's not just U.S. beef and pork. You got all sorts of commodities that use these same ports. So we're challenged to export all of our product today using all the ports. So we cannot afford a shutdown in any part of the supply chain. Here we are just a few days away from the expiration of the contract on September 30th. Most definitely, we need to get the White House or anyone else involved that can help to spur discussions to get back to the table and avoid any kind of interruption of service later this month.
For more, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm John Harith.
All right, John, sure appreciate it. Also, another highlight this week was Wall Street. We saw Wall Street close higher Thursday after the Fed deciding to lower interest rates. Senior business correspondent Christine Romans reports on the Dow and the S&P as they surged on Thursday to all-time highs.
It really was a record-setting day yesterday, and it just comes on the heels of a really big run for the stock market. And here's why. When you cut interest rates, that cuts costs for companies. So Wall Street, of course, reflects how much money companies are making, but also that big rate cut is good for Main Street.
Also this week, on Wednesday, just more details on that. The central bank lowered the rate by half a percentage point, and therefore we did see the markets react. Also, President Biden is in support of the Fed's decision. Mark Mayfield has more.
Biden spoke before the Economic Club of Washington, D.C.
I'm not here to take a victory lap. I'm not here to say a job well done. I'm not here to say we don't have a hell of a lot more work to do. We do have more work to do.
Biden said he expects rates to eventually fall even further. The central bank cut rates by a half a point on Wednesday. The decision lowers the federal funds rate to a range between 4.75 to 5%. Interest rates had remained at their highest level in over two decades since July of last year. The Fed had maintained a goal of lowering inflation to 2%. August saw the 12-month inflation rate fall to 2.5%, its lowest level since February of 2021. I'm Mark Mayfield.
All right, Mark, thank you very much. More on your Central Minnesota Farm Report this morning. Let's get an update as we are seeing some drying trends in our country's areas of pastures and rangeland, and some more drier conditions are starting to continue and settle in. Rod Baina, USDA, has more details.
USDA NAS pasture and rangeland condition numbers for the week ending September 15th show a climbing amount with very poor to poor ratings.
As USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey reveals,
the national value in mid-September, 44%, up 5 percentage points from the previous week. Good to excellent ratings for pasture and range, 27% nationally. That is down 2 points from last week.
The number of states reporting good to excellent pasture and rangeland conditions continues to decline. Florida leads that category with an 82% good to excellent pasture and rangeland condition rating.
On the flip side, an increasing number of states reporting lower pasture conditions here late in the year with pervasive dryness. Leading the way, West Virginia, 98% very poor to poor. Not too far behind Ohio at 75%.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
All right, Rod, thank you very much. And finally, on Friday, some report numbers from USDA. Milk production in the 24 major states during August totaled 18.1 billion pounds, which is up just 0.1% from August of 2023. July revised production at 18.2 billion pounds was down 0.3% from a year ago. The July revision represented a decrease of 1 million pounds or less from last month's preliminary production estimate. Now, production per cow in the 24 major states averaging 2,036 pounds, 8 pounds above a year ago. Number of milk cows on farms across the U.S. was 8.88 million, which is 28,000 less than a year ago and unchanged from July here of this year. Milk production in the U.S. during August totaled 18.8 billion pounds, down 0.1% from August of last year. The number of milk cows on farms in the U.S. was at 9.33 million head, which is 40,000 head less than a year ago, but unchanged from July of 2024. So yeah, some milk production across the U.S., some numbers released on Friday. And that's a look at your Central Minnesota Farm Report for this Saturday morning. I'm Joe Gill. It's brought to you by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service in Avon. Thanks for tuning in and have a good weekend.